Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith once again. I'm Neil Stavem. We always appreciate the opportunity that you give us to listen in, and we get a chance to have great conversations and interact together. Today's one of those programs where you'll want to get your questions in and get some great help, because our guest has some not only practical insight, but a biblical perspective that may just give you a fresh new perspective on how we can look at the life in which we live, and the homes and the spaces that we fill up. And Ted, I don't know, you seem like you're kind of an organized guy, aren't you?
Kind of have to be in this job a little bit. Yeah. You know, there was a time where I had a lot of Post-it notes everywhere, and there's still an element of truth in that, I think. But it's kind of an organized mess, maybe.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about people at home with questions. I can just picture them with stacks of paper everywhere. Yeah, and how do I get this together?
Right. You know. Well, I was thinking maybe you've, if you repeat the Lord's Prayer regularly, maybe you could try this line: "Forgive us our chaos, as we forgive those who chaos against us."
So a lot of truth in that.
It's from the book "Purge with Passion: Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective." And we're happy to welcome back Jody Watson to the program. Jody's been our guest in the past, and we always enjoy the conversation. It just seemed like a kind of a good time to talk about that. I don't know. I was just talking to Jody here before we went on the air that, you know, if there's seasons in the year or when it seems more, you're more inclined to kind of pick up a little bit.
Yeah, I would suspect like New Year's maybe, and maybe spring cleaning, and then this time back to school, right?
Yeah, I think, well, so back to school, or maybe it's just the end of the summer, and you want to just kind of like buckle down again, and let's get to some good habits. So Jody Watson is going to give us some help today. Jody is the founder and president of Supreme Organization. And let me just mention that their website is supremeorganization.com, and you'll find some great resources there. And she is the author of Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. And she's been on regular TV appearances and doing a lot of programs that just obviously talk about the organizing tips and advice in the national publications as well. She's a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers, which, they didn't want me in somehow. I'm not sure why that was, but anyway. She's just got a great perspective on things, and we always enjoy conversations. So, Jody, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much. It's really great to be back. It's always good to be on your show.
So, we're going to talk maybe, about the book. And by the way, we do have two copies of the book to give away. And we thought rather than give away more copies, we just know that for some people it would just be clutter. So, we don't want, the book hounds, this would just set on a shelf and you wouldn't read it. It wouldn't be helpful to you. So this is a book that will really help you. And if you need some help in this area, want some great insight, sign up for a copy. We'll give those away, a little drawing at the end of the hour. 877-93-FAITH. The phone number is open, 877-933-2484. I wanted to talk a little bit about the title, Purge with Passion, because I'm wondering, maybe isn't passion sort of part of the problem with trying to maybe organize or reduce clutter, that, you know, we don't really have enough of it to get started and then probably don't have enough to keep going?
Yeah, really. Passion is going to be the key to really helping you stay with the program, because it's not easy to do things differently. I mean, we don't always like change. Even though we may not like where we are with things and with the things the way they are, if we're living with a lot of chaos and disorder, we may recognize that we are. But to actually get from there to living a life of order means we have to change. We have to do things differently. And that's never easy. And sometimes, I mean, you were talking about the seasons earlier. They're, New Year. You're absolutely right. It's definitely a time where people are going, okay, it's a new year, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to set my resolutions. And back to school is another time when it's like, it's a new academic year, if you like. And so it also brings that same sense of change and newness. And it gives us energy and motivation to start. and we need that. And so that gets us going, and we achieve what we achieve. And then what's really going to keep us in there for the long term is going to be how passionate we are about it and how much do we actually desire this change that we are striving for. So being passionate is the desire to do things differently and then having the motivation to keep doing it, even when it starts to be hard. And we don't want to do it, but the passion means that we'll bring our whole self to it nevertheless, and we'll put our whole heart into it, and we won't hold back, and we'll want to do it and do it well. And with purging and getting organized and bringing order to our lives, I think when we look at the biblical principles that we see in God's word for that, we understand that the purging is about God pruning from our life that which is maybe of no use and is getting in the way. And so that helps fuel our passion. I think it's more than just getting rid of a few things now and sort of bringing our homes, taming the clutter in our homes, but it's more about allowing God to work through us to clear away what is unnecessary and what he doesn't need to be there. And I think that's something to be really passionate about.
So taking that bigger picture framework can really make a difference, doesn't it? So it's not just I'm going to get this drawer by the kitchen cupboard here cleaned out, but it's really a bigger picture, because you talk about passion. I was thinking about, you know, there's emotional clutter. I mean, emotions are so often tied up in how we, you know, let stuff accumulate.
Oh, our emotions are definitely a huge part of the problem. But yeah, the key I think that takes us, that unlocks the door from just saying, you know, hey, let's purge a few items, let me get my closet organized this weekend or whatever, is to really understand that God does have a plan for restoring order in this world. I mean, we know that he did create a world that was in perfect order when he originally created it for us, and that we, through our own passions and desires and things that we wanted, we actually messed the order of that world up. So it's important that we understand that he is working towards restoring order here on our planet, and that we can actually come alongside him, and as we align our lives more to what his idea of order is, as opposed to what maybe our idea of order is, then we can become a part of that plan. And that prevents us sort of adding more chaos and mess to an already chaotic and messy situation that God is trying to restore order to. And then we go from asking that question, you know, oh, how can I organize my closet, to asking a more profound question of, you know, how is God's original intention for order reflected in my life and in the way that I relate to the stuff that he has given me and the resources that he's entrusted to me. And that's a key to unlocking that passion, if you like, so that when we grasp this and we grasp that there's a bigger picture behind bringing order, and we start to apply that, then we can really pursue the change that can mean we can live our life and manage our space and our stuff and time and money differently in order to actually be more effective for God and his kingdom.
I was thinking that probably when we think about, you know, organizational principles, we don't always think about, you know, asking God for help in that area, but you talk about asking, you know, some important questions. This seems like something where if we actually spent a bit of time praying, you know, for God to direct and guide us in the whole process of decluttering, that we might see a whole new level coming in, you know, to fruition.
I really think you're right there, Neil, that it's, you know, it's really, we make it about ourselves so much of the time. We make it about our spaces and wanting to get organized so that our lives are more efficient and we can be more effective with what we want to do, and we're always at the center of it. And that's the key to what I talk about in my book, is actually, you know, let's try and look at this from God's perspective. You know, his idea of order is probably completely different to what my idea of order is. you know, we're bombarded with the pictures. I mean, you can be on Pinterest or in any of the magazines of these perfectly organized spaces, which are great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with actually striving for that kind of order. I help people do that. That's what I do for a living. But usually it's seen as that is the end goal, that the end goal is so that my house looks like these do in the magazines, and so that I'm on top of everything to be able to get everything that I want to get done. And that's the end goal. And what we see when we look at the Bible and we're trying to bring our lives into line with what God's idea for order is that it actually becomes about Him. And it's not about us achieving necessarily what it is we want. We're actually trying to get on board with what God's already doing and saying, how can I help? What is what I'm doing going to help you to bring this about? And so absolutely, then when we submit that to God in prayer, I think he's right there with us to help us carve through that. And I think that's the key, is actually making it's about Him and it's not about us.
Great insights, as always, from Jody Watson. We're talking about her book, Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. And she does have some great organizing principles, and we will dive into some of those in just moments. We do have a couple of copies of the book to give away. If this is an area that you could use some great perspective and help on, maybe a fresh new look at how to adjust and realign your life according to God's plans and purposes, give us a call, 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. And we, of course, would love to answer your questions, too, if you have some specific questions about, you know, some organizing, some purging, some clearing out. Maybe there's a family member who doesn't seem interested at all in the process. We'll see if Jody has some good advice. Jody is founder and president of Supreme Organization and author of the book Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. You can find out more about her work and writings at supremeorganization.com. And we'll take your questions and comments coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned. So give us clean hands. Give us pure. Clean hands and pure hearts, good word. Maybe a clean living space wouldn't be a bad idea either. Thanks, Ted, for that. Jody Watson, my guest today. Jody's founder and president of Supreme Organization. She's a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers. She's been on a number of TV programs, things like Lifetime's The Balancing Act, Better TV, NBC's Weekend Today. Been on a number of national magazines and articles as well, and you can find out more at supremeorganization.com. The book we're referencing, Purge with Passion. It's Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. We've got some copies to give away, and we'll get to your calls in a moment, 877-933-2484. I was thinking, Jody, maybe as we get back to school and helping maybe sending off kids to college for the first time and wondering, well, how are they going to do with the roommate and how does everybody get along? I know you have a teenager in the house. Are there some ways that we can help our children at maybe various stages of their development to understand the importance of organizing principles?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, kids can start to learn from when they're babes in arms, basically. You can start to sort of let them know about organizing. I know it sounds like, well, what could a baby do? But babies are learning all the time. And, you know, I remember with my son when he was very little, just walking around and we'd be cleaning up and I'm like, oh, here, let's put all the teddies in a box and let's put all the books on a shelf. And even though I'm the one doing it, I'm kind of talking through to him what I'm doing. And so he's already learning. But once they become toddlers, they can start to help in all kinds of ways around the house, little jobs. I think the key is giving them age-specific tasks that they can do. But just knowing that all kids can actually help out, or pretty much from toddlers onwards, can help out. And I think that, you know, I'm a single mother, so I was raising my son. I realized that, you know, once kids do become, when he did become a teenager, that they can actually caused so much more work. And I was like, you know what, I'm actually training up my little workforce here to help rather than hinder how the household is run. So that he's working with, I think a lot of times kids are sort of working against their parents in the home, and its parents can kind of bring them in to sort of be a part of that and let them know that they have responsibilities for that too. So any age, they can be helping, and it's just whether it's bringing, you know, dishes from the table to the sink, or always putting clothes in the laundry basket, or tidying up their rooms. All of this is helping them to learn how to organize, how to be organized, and how to be a part of the household. Obviously, you know, if you have a teenager or you have a child that's going off to college and this hasn't been the way that they've been raised necessarily, then there's still things you can do. It really doesn't matter what age they are. You can always be helping them to learn the skills of organization that are just really going to help them all the way through their lives.
Well, we want to learn a few of those skills today, Jody. And Debbie called from Stillwater and says she's been sick and unemployed and has been tired and lacking energy. And she said, I need some ideas as to where to start. And I'm sure you get that all the time. How do I know where to start organizing?
Right. You know, How old are her children, did she say?
I didn't say. No, just maybe just for herself, and just, you know, she's been, and you know, sick, and so, you know, just obviously things not always going so well, you know, it's easy to let things slip and get out of control too.
Yeah. It is. And I think that, you know, in that situation, it's always good to maybe think back to basics so that you're thinking, what is the irreducible minimum? That's what I would call it, is the irreducible minimum that needs to be done. These are the things that we need in order to survive or to get through the day, things like making meals or eating meals, spending time with our children the best we can, spending time taking care of ourselves. To be honest, and I'm just going to say this, organization only has a part to play. I would not necessarily say that in a case where you are struggling with energy and health that you want to be worried about getting your house to be super organized. You have limited energy. You want to be focused on the things that only you can do. Only you can be a mother to your children. You know, other people can cook, but maybe only you can spend time eating with your children. So looking at what are the least amount of things that you can do. Laundry obviously is one of the irreducible minimums that just needs to continue to be done. So looking at those tasks, you're starting to simplify and sort of cut out everything else that might be getting in the way and crowding out, you know, being able to see the forest for the trees when there's just so much going on and you don't know where to start. It's just like, okay, let me start with meals. And then with that, you could maybe plan your meals to make it a little easier so that you know what you're going to eat each day. And then when you do grocery shopping, you know what you're going to purchase. That right there can really help that flow better. And then doing a little laundry every day just to keep that ticking over rather than letting it pile up to be this huge mountain of clothing that you have to do once a week. It's always better to do a little regularly than trying to do a whole lot when you're really struggling for that. And I really do sympathize with her because actually I have, you know, myself, I have an energy. I talk about it in my book where I have a lung condition that has made me really have to, you know, we talk about time management and I look at energy management and how is it best for me to use my energy today. And sometimes that is about letting the house go, not letting the dishes be done that night because you want to sit with your child and either play a board game or listen to their day. You know, it's prioritizing, but people always come first. And I think that the organizing is only really an issue if it's actually getting in the way of the main things happening. So growing in the Lord, being a great parent and raising your kids to know the Lord and making sure that people are fed and clothes are clean. I mean, these are the basics of life that you don't want to be without. having your house in perfect order can wait. It doesn't have to be done right away. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And I know you talk in the book too about you start small, right? I mean, you obviously you're not, it will get worse before it gets better once you start sort of, you know, cleaning out a drawer or a closet. You have to put it someplace, and so it, you know, you kind of build a little chaos into the process.
Yes, you do, and that's something that needs to be brought into your attention when you're actually going to be organizing. You don't want to take on more than, you know, bite off more than you can chew. And so, you know, I talk in my book about creating a vision area. When you're living in chaos and the entire, everywhere you look, this chaos, a vision area serves like a few purposes, really. But one of them is to just start with a small area that you can manage in about an hour or two at the most. It could be an end table or a countertop or the top of a chest of drawers, like whatever it is, but you choose something very manageable. And then you can actually time yourself to see how long it takes you to organize that space so that you know how long organizing takes you. Because then you can actually go, you know what, it took me 2 hours to do this or 4 hours, and it really doesn't matter how long. It's not the point. You're not trying to get it done in a, you know, it's not a race or anything. But it will help you to know that, because then you can say, I actually have enough energy and enough time to do this space over here and this space over there. So, yes, once you start it, you're going to pull things out. And it's interesting because when you open a closet door and you look in and it looks a mess, it's actually not as much of a mess as it is as when you start pulling everything out. And you're always, I'm always, and my clients are always surprised. It's like, wow, how did I manage to get that much shoved into that space? So it definitely gets worse before it gets better. But it's a necessary step that needs to be taken so that you can evaluate everything that's in there and actually start to take out all the things that don't need to be there, that are broken, that you don't use, that, you know, all the stuff that's not necessary, take that out, and then you have space for the things that maybe do fit in there. And I think that's really the key to all of it. It's sort of taking out, you know, we say purge with passion. It's about letting go of the things that are getting in the way of us really being able to function or do the things that we need to do or grow in the Lord in the way that we need to grow in the Lord. So, I would say that that's important to do that, and taking small steps and all of that work together. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, for sure.
And the book not only addresses, obviously, stuff, but it's also going to talk about purging your finances and your time and your information and your inner world. So some great resource here. The book is called Purge with Passion. It's Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective, written by Jody Watson, founder and president of Supreme Organization. You can find out more about her and the writings and her work at supremeorganization.com. We've got a great question from Allison, who's holding on, and we'll ask her to hang on over the break and get to that here in just a moment. And you may have a question as well about the whole process. How can you make some organizational changes in your life? Great insight today from Jody Watson. And join us with your calls at 877-93-FAITH. We do have two copies of her book to give away as well. It's 877-933-2484.
All right, everyone. Let's tidy things up. Come, my little friends, as we all sing a happy little working song. Merry little voices, clear and strong. Come and roll your sleeves up, so to speak, in kitchen.
Is this the new Mary Poppins? Is that what's the...
Enchanted?
Enchanted. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay. Yes, well.
So, yes, I think this is the answer to that question.
Well, it's interesting that during the break, Jody, you'll appreciate this, one of the engineers brought in a little handheld vacuum cleaner while we were doing the show. So I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, I love those things.
Apparently he decided that, you know, today would be a good day to do a little cleaning in here. So wonderful. So the studio's going to be looking better at the end of the show. So Jody Watson is an organizing expert, and she's the founder of Supreme Organization. And the book we're talking about, Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. We got a couple of copies. We'll do a drawing for that to give them away at the end of the hour. 877-933-2484. is our phone number. And Allison, thank you for waiting through the break. Allison calling from Hastings had a question about families and stuff. You're on with Jody. Go ahead.
Hi, Jody. Hi, Neil. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Allison.
Hi. My husband and I are expecting our fifth child in just before Christmas, and we're very excited about that.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. We are trying to figure out a way to deal graciously with family who loves to give lots of things.
Yes.
our oldest is 9 right now, and so, you know, just about everything that's given has lots of little pieces, and it's not, honestly, not that difficult for me to get rid of things, but it's part of my problem is just trying to stop the influx of lots of things.
And the real story is you're tired of stepping on Lego pieces in your bare feet, right? Is that the?
when you're expecting, Neil, you wouldn't know this. Sure. When you're expecting, sometimes your feet hurt.
Well,
that's right. They do.
That's a good question, and probably a problem that many others have experienced to one degree or another. Jody, what would you say?
Yeah. So. Well, you know, I mean, Allison, our society is driven by sort of gifts and stuff and having and giving, and so, you know, we're wanting to do things differently, and we're wanting to really raise our kids not to place as much importance on and value on stuff as society is sort of putting on them to do. And, you know, people feel obligated to give. I mean, it's what they do. I remember when my son was born and it was his first Christmas, and the amount of gifts that we got was unbelievable. I think it was more than I'd ever had toys that I'd ever had in my entire childhood. And so I think we're sort of going overboard with this buying presents and stuff anyway. So it's hard knowing that that's where people are coming from, that they want to do it. That's their expression of love. So I would really talk to your family and say, we love that you love our kids so much and you love your grandkids so much and you're in their lives. But we're trying to raise them this way. We're trying to raise them so that they don't expect all this and they don't put a value, such a big value on getting things all the time. And so we would love if you could give them and think about and give them some ideas of gifts that don't involve stuff. They're consumables. You can think of consumables or activities. So they could buy Disneyland tickets or tickets to a play or the movies. Or you could actually say, you know, we would love you to actually just spend some time. Say, this is the gift I'm giving you for your birthday this year. I'm going to spend some time with you, and we're going to go and we're going to have, you know, smoothies, or we're going to go do this, or we're going to do that for your birthday. Like, that was the gift. The gift was time, or the gift was love, or the gift was something that they could use and then not have to bring it home. So they've enjoyed an experience or shared an experience together. So that's always something that I try to do when I mean, it's not to say kids shouldn't get any gifts. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you have 5 kids. It's going to get out of hand pretty quickly. And babies right there come with a lot of stuff as it is. So, you know, there are times when I think a new baby, you need stuff and people are buying stuff, and that's great. But as kids are growing up, and every year there's birthdays, and you have 5 kids' birthdays a year, it's going to get out of hand pretty quickly. And I think people will see that if you just say, this is what's happening, and our home is getting inundated with these things, and we really want to make room for our kids to spend time with you. And this would be a great way maybe to do it. So that's a suggestion.
Sure. The stuff is there. I mean, do you have some recommendations? Is it just sort of, you know, packing up some toys every, you know, month or so and say, well, we'll put these away for a while, or just to actually re-gift or get them out of the house?
If kids are actually playing with them, I think it's like that the 80-20 principle, you know, where we use 20% of the things that we own at any one time. So like 80% is sitting around. And for the majority of us, you know, I would think in this case with toys, the kids probably aren't playing with all of them at all. depending on, I think things begin to get cluttered when you don't have, you're actually trying to keep more in the space that you actually have room to contain. So it all will depend. The amount of what you keep is going to depend on how much space do each of your kids have for their toys. What I tend to see when I go in and work with clients with kids is that the toys have taken over the entire house. And they're, you know, the living room is no longer a living room. It's now a toy house or a playhouse because all the kids' stuff is in there, and then all the kids' stuff is in their rooms, and they have too much. And so deciding, you know, here's the space that we have for this, and then really picking out the toys that they love the best and play with the most. And it's not a bad tactic to sort of take away some of them and keep them aside and see if they even miss it. Sometimes they won't. But it's definitely a something where you want to be periodically going in and evaluating, like, what do we have? What is actually in use? What are they playing with? What do they need? What don't they need? Can we re-gift this? And helping kids actually say, look, we don't play this game. We've never used this game. Why don't we see if, you know, there's a family down the street that want it? And I'm not saying give all your stuff to dump it on other people. But, you know, there are other people that maybe don't have the games and don't get a chance. So you could swap them around with your neighbors and your friends so that not everybody has to have, you know, Monopoly or Snakes and Ladders in their house. We could share it, you know. So it's hard. It's not the way our society is set up. So it's sort of counter. But I think when you look at the Bible, that is how, you know, we look at the early church. People shared and they lived together, and not everybody had to have their own version of everything. So as we strive to sort of bring our lives more into alignment with God and how He, the order that He brought into the world, I think that's a great area that you bring up, is this area of toys and gifts that are just really given to the extreme. I mean, it's in my opinion, anyway.
I appreciate that. That's good perspective. We're getting organizing principles from a Christian perspective with Jody Watson talking about her book Purge with Passion. There's another caller. Debbie has asked. She says, "I'm an artist and tend to be a messy person by nature. Maintaining the order, quote-unquote, has been difficult. Do you have any advice on how to form new habits?" She said she also finds herself collecting things that she might use for an art project, but wants to find a way to get more organized. And there's probably a lot of people that, I'm that way. I think, oh, well, this is a nice container. I collect containers and boxes. That's almost worse, probably, isn't it? Because, oh, I might be able to use this someday. So what do we do with the I might be able to use it attitude?
Right. I think, again, it goes back to how much space do you actually have to house things first. And then if you're keeping more than can actually fit comfortably in that space, then you know that it's time to let some of it go. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is to sort of create a space where you can actually access and do the creation that you need to do without, it's how much time is she spending looking for stuff, and is it so messy that she's actually not getting to the work that well? So there's different ways to organize artistic materials. Again, I think it's about having less. Like, less is always better in most cases. So, yes, you may use something one day down the line. I would sort of caution against collecting too many things that you'll use down the line, but more go along the lines of like, oh, this is really great. I just found this thing. I'm going to use that. I'm going to incorporate that into my art somehow, and then do it. And if you haven't done it in a certain length of time, then actually let it go. I've been in so many homes where the scrapbooking supplies have grown to just really outpace the space that they have for them, like 100-fold. And there's so many supplies. And when I actually delve deeper and say, well, how many scrapbooks have you created? How many have you done? It's like, well, I haven't yet. I want to, though. And it's like, okay, so you don't need all this right now. Keep enough to make one book. And then when you've made that scrapbook, go and get enough to make a second scrapbook. And then just keep your sort of forward-looking supplies very low, very small, and designate a space. Say, this is how much room I have for things that I find that I might use, and I cannot exceed that space. And when you do and you find something that's just a must-have, look at what else is in there and say, okay, well, if I'm going to bring this into this space, I'm not going to have enough room for everything, what can I let go of to actually make room for this new thing? And so that you're just acknowledging that actually, you know, you're not going to get to everything. You're not going to use every beautiful thing that you find in the world, and that's okay. But you can have a supply on hand for inspiration and ideas and what have you, but use it. Do something with it. And if you don't and you find something else, let it go.
Well, that ties in nicely with Brenda's question. She called in from Rosemont and says, I'm looking at downsizing from a four-bedroom house to a townhouse. Could you touch on how to go about weeding out all the possessions we've gathered over the years? I think it's called the dumpster. No, but I mean, well, the downsizing, that's a worthy goal. And again, it's, you know, space is an important factor here. What would you say?
Well, the purging is really being, you know, forced upon her at this point, whether she likes it or not. So it's a choice of whether you're going to actually embrace that process or if you're going to fight it. And I've seen both happen. And trust me, it's better to embrace it. Downsizing can be very traumatic. It can be very emotional. It's always easier to move from a smaller place to a bigger place. So trying to go through your entire home and your life and basically say, well, what matters and what doesn't, it's a process, and it can be a difficult one, especially if you're holding on to a lot of things that you're attached to and you've got memories or have been in the family for a long time. But it's also a really great time and opportunity to actually really simplify down and clarify what your life is about today and what it is that you actually need. I would start with the space that you're going to be moving into and, you know, really go through your home and say, well, this will fit. We can put it here and you know where it's going to go. And this won't. And that's really your deciding factor right there. If it's not going to fit, then it does need to go and you do need to part with it. I think one of the things that we can, or she can bear in mind at this point, or we can all bear in mind really at all the time, is that we tend to be overly attached to our stuff. You know, we don't really keep the perspective of how God says we are to be with our possessions in line with how we really feel with our possessions and our relationship to our stuff. So this is a great opportunity and a great time to actually say, you know what, God, I really just want to take to this new space that which you would have me take. Help me to discern what to take and what not to take. Things that you're holding on to, let's say they're memories from your kids and you've got, you know, all of their schoolwork or all of their baby clothes, like for each year of the first 10 years or whatever, something. You don't have to get rid of everything, but you can definitely pare it down to a minimum and just keep a couple of items that really remind you of the first baby outfit and let the rest go. You've probably got lots of pictures of your kids in those things. Or if it's a dining table that you've loved and you've had great meals around and it's just not going to fit in your space, have a big meal and invite everybody over and a big hurrah and take pictures and enjoy it one last time and then say, I'm going to let this go now. The consequences of not doing that are quite scary. They're sad and scary at the same time. I worked with a lady one time who was old and elderly, and she'd lived in her family house for 30 years, and now she had to move to a condo. And it was very hard for her to let go. And she didn't want to. And I kept saying to her, you're not going to have room. You won't have room for this. But she's like, nope, I will, I will, I will. And so, you know, we moved her into the new space, but there wasn't room, and it ended up being very chaotic and even more painful for her, and she couldn't actually enjoy the new space so much because she had so many boxes of things that she just couldn't let go of that had nowhere to go and couldn't be unpacked, so they just sort of lined up the walls, and it was the process after that to sort of undo it. So it really is easier to do it ahead of time and be realistic about what will fit and what won't, and say your goodbyes if it's stuff that you're attached to, but just you know, let it go.
Is there, we're going to take a break here in a moment, but I was just wondering, Jody, is there a verse, Bible verse that you maybe kind of sort of come back to time and time again when, as you're working through this and talking about it? I mean, you've got, your book is full of scripture passages, but just, is there one that sort of rises to the top for you most of the time?
You know, for me, it's always the Mark 10. I believe it's 17 through 22, and it talks about the rich man. It's the story of the rich man who really wanted to seek God and was already, you know, loved the Lord and was following Jesus. And he said, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, Jesus looked at him and said, it's actually in the Bible, it says it looked at him and loved him. And I love that because Jesus looked at him and could see that he was in bondage to his stuff, that he had a lot of stuff and it meant a lot to him. And Jesus said to him, he's like, you know, let go of these things, sell it and give it to the poor and then come follow me and you will have treasure in heaven. And he couldn't do it. The man couldn't do it. And so that to me is just heartbreaking in that, wow, here was a man who was, Jesus was right in front of him saying, just don't worry about, none of this stuff matters. Follow me, who was, went away disheartened because he had a lot of stuff. And in the end, he chose that over Christ. And so that is always to me one that stands out as a big reminder to say, this stuff is not as important as I think it is. Christ is always more important and making room for him. And I don't need even half as much as I think I do.
Good encouragement from Jody Watson today, founder and president of Supreme Organization. She's authored the book Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. We'll take more comments and questions, reflections coming up in a moment with Jody. You can find out more about her writing and her work at supremeorganization.com. And we do have a couple of copies of the book. We'll do a drawing for that here at the end of the hour, 877-93-FAITH, if you'd like to sign up for that. And stay tuned for more here as we continue on Connecting Faith. Everybody's got their own. That's the problem. And we got more than we got room for. The old song from Billy Crockett called 41 Lawnmowers. Talking with Jody Watson today, Purge with Passion is the name of her book. Great resource. She's founder and president of Supreme Organization. And her heart and passion is about organizing principles from a Christian perspective. And hopefully you've got a little vision of that as you've listened to the program today. Jody, you know, most organization books stop at stuff. You address finances and time as well. Maybe just say a word about that here before our time runs out.
Okay. The reason I go beyond stuff is that, you know, stuff and time and finances are three areas where we tend to put our desires and plans ahead of God's desires and plans for us. You know, we want what we want. We want to spend our time doing whatever we want, and we want to spend our money on whatever we desire. So these areas are three that if we aren't careful and mindful, we're going to fall short of being faithful servants and stewards of God's gifts to us. These are his gifts to us. You know, time is a wonderful resource. It's really what our lives are made up of, and how we use that is going to determine, you know, whether we impact his kingdom or whether we're building our own kingdoms, if you like. And they're also very interlinked, and they affect one another, so that you could be spending your time and money on things that God has no use for, or you could be getting into debt, financially, you know, burdening yourself because you want to buy more stuff than you can afford. Or we may use our time to get more money to buy the stuff by working longer and harder hours. So they really work together. They're really interlinked. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, you know, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So, you know, before we know it, we find ourselves on this accumulation merry-go-round, and we're just, that all three are working together. We're spending money, we're wasting time, and we're buying too, and we have too much stuff. So as we bring these into submission to the Lord, he really helps us to get our priorities back into alignment with him. And we have to remember at the end of the day that, you know, we tend to think of it as my stuff and my time and my money, but it really isn't. You know, everything that we have belongs to the Lord, and he's entrusted it to us for a purpose. So when we are being mindful of that and we're saying, okay, God, what do you want me to use this for? You've given me this time. How can I use it to glorify you? Or I have this money. How can I use that to glorify you? Or I have even this stuff. How can I use it to glorify you? We're becoming good stewards at that point of the things that he's given us. The question to ask is, how can I become rich towards God with my stuff, my time, my finances, all of me, basically? Can I bring that to the feet of the Lord and let him have his will with it and direct my steps with how to use it effectively and efficiently for his glory? So that's why I bring them in. I don't think it's just one thing that stuff is just the issue. There's a lot of issues, you know, but these three are major. And, of course, it's all driven by, you know, there's one chapter in my book called Purging Your Inner World, which sort of really looks at our heart issues and why we're even having too much stuff and why we're spending our time in certain ways and why we're buying more than we need to do. Like, what is that about? Why are we even doing that? And it really comes back to, you know, the chaos and disorder of the world that we've created, and everything's kind of off, and our priorities are no longer in line with him, and we're just sort of, it's a free-for-all, and we're doing whatever we can. So when we bring these, and we strive to bring these back into alignment with him, order is restored in our lives. And so that's really the journey that we're on, is to continue to help God restore order to this world in our own way, in our own part of the world, in our home, where we are with what he's given us, being faithful with that.
We only have about 90 seconds left. I don't know if you don't really have time to address this one, but I know this last time we talked, I know you experienced some of this. Connie had called in and says, what are some steps to emotionally let go of deceased parents' items? I don't know if you have a quick answer to that.
Well, again, you know, keep a few things that are really special to you. But if the stuff is going to be getting in the way of you living your life today and being able to have your house and your space and for that to be made available for God's use, if it's going to get in the way of that, I can't imagine that your parents would want to really put you in that position. I would, again, choose a few things that are meaningful and then let the rest go. There are other people that can use this stuff and will love it as much as your parents did, maybe, and it can be a blessing to them. So don't be afraid to let go. It's God's way of pruning us, and it's a great practice to get into, to just have an open hand with our things.
And, you know, is there a one habit? I mean, I know that, you know, getting rid of stuff is one thing. Building new organizational habits is another. Is there one quick tip you want to leave us with?
Well, practicing the art of organization, I think just practicing the new habits helps them to be cemented in our lives and in our hearts. So just really making time to think through what you're doing. It's like, you know what, I'm not just going to do that same old habit. I'm actually going to interrupt it, and I'm going to do this different thing to have a different outcome. And just practice that on a regular basis, because the more we do something, the easier it becomes. So the more you organize, or the more you work on a new habit, the easier it's going to become over time, until you're just actually doing it and it's become automatic, and suddenly you're doing it and you didn't even realize it anymore. And that's where we want to get to with this.
Indeed. Jody, thanks for your encouragement. Always great to talk with you, and appreciate your good insight in this real issue for many of us. Jody Watson, founder and president of Supreme Organization. You can check it out at supremeorganization.com. And if you missed part of today's program, you can check out the podcast online at myfaithradio.com.